John chapter 7, I want us to read together those first 13 verses. John chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. John chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. After this, after the former chapter, 6 months after the Passover that you will see shortly in chapter 7, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee. This is the region from whence he came, purposefully staying away from Judea. Why? Because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. Why did they want to take his life? He was a fellow Jew. Why did they want to get rid of Jesus? Well, of course, he claimed blasphemy. He claimed that he was the Son of God. He claimed equality with God. He claimed to bring salvation. He claimed to be the Messiah. And yet he didn't fit their picture of what a Messiah looked like. In fact, he didn't fit into their religious system. And so they were ready to take his life. So, at least for now, Jesus purposefully stayed away from Judea. But when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, this is 6 months after the Passover, this is when they celebrated the harvest. This was probably getting on towards October, and they celebrated God's goodness. But it was also the feast, some of you may have a translation, Feast of Booths. And they lived in the wilderness wanderings in Israel's day. For years, they lived in the wilderness, and God provided for them. And so 1 week out of the year, they would construct these booths made of branches and leaves, and they would live in them. It was sort of like a gigantic Cub Scout camp out. And for a week, they would stay in this booth, either up on their rooftop or somewhere outside. They would construct this booth and they would live there for a week to remind them of God's goodness and his provision in the harvest. To remind them of God's goodness in providing for them as they wandered through the wilderness. So that places for us the time of year, and that's happening in Jerusalem. And you understand, it was one of the major opportunities for, if you were a Jew, to come back to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Booths. And so that's the time. And his brothers come to him and say to him, you ought to leave here and go to Judea. Well, why, guys? Why do you want me to do that? So that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one wants to become a public figure. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. I think his brothers are saying, Jesus, you want to be this big public figure, but you're going about it all wrong. If you want to be this big public figure, Galilee is not the place to be. You really need to be in Jerusalem. That's where everybody is. You understand that, Jesus, right? It's the Feast of Booths. It's the celebration of God's goodness. And that's where everybody is. Jesus, get to Jerusalem. Go down there and show out. Show them what you do. We've seen some of the things you do. If you want to be a public figure, get down there and do your thing, and let people see who you are. Well, is that what Jesus does? No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. Watch this. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. They didn't know what Jesus was about. They really didn't believe he was the Messiah. They knew he could do some pretty cool stuff. And they knew that he was doing something about being a public figure. And so they said, Jesus, get to Jerusalem where people can see you and do your thing down there. But you understand, his disciples really didn't get it. They didn't know why he was doing the cool things that he was doing. They didn't understand Jesus. They didn't really believe in him. Therefore, Jesus said to them, the right time, hold on to that, we'll come back to it. Therefore, Jesus told them, the right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil. You're not testifying of that. You don't believe in me. anytime is okay with you. You go to the feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, because for me the right time has not yet come. Having said this, he stayed in Galilee. Now watch what happens. However, after his brothers had left for the feast, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Now at the feast of the Jews, the Jews were watching for him and asking, "Where is that man?" Among the crowds there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, "He is a good man." Others replied, "No, he deceives the people." But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the Jews. The Jews didn't want talk of Jesus. And so you can imagine everybody's gathered there in Jerusalem. And can you imagine the hubbub? You know, you kind of turn to your neighbor and go, "Wait, where's Jesus? Do you know what he looks like? What does he look like? What's the debate? I think he's a pretty good guy. He's done some really great things. My aunt's brother's sister's daughter's husband got healed by that guy. I saw it happen myself. How could he be a bad guy? Oh, are you kidding me? He's drawing attention to, he's not a good guy." Can you, wait, quiet. Nice day, isn't it? And they didn't want the Jews to hear them talking about Jesus, because the Jews hated Jesus. The leadership there hated Jesus. And so they didn't want the hubbub going on. Will you pray with me as we look at God's word? Father, thank you for your word. It is true. It is right. It is good. It is helpful. And your word tells us that it is good for us in that it will challenge us where we need to be stirred up. It will rebuke us where we're off base and we need to come back in line with the truth of your word. It will comfort us. It will encourage us. Your word is good for so many things. And Holy Spirit, it is my prayer that you would take now your word and apply it to the hearts and lives of your people. I can't begin to know everything that every one of these, your people, are facing today. I can't know all of that, but you know them better than they know themselves. You know not only what they have faced and are facing, you know what they will face for the rest of this day and tomorrow and the next day. So, Holy Spirit, give them a nugget of truth from your word. And use even me, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've watched The Price is Right, you may have watched Bob Barker for the last time wheel out a board, and on that board are a list of prices. It starts low with the smallest price and goes up to the highest price. And there's a highlighted bracket that begins at his command to move up that scale of prices. And it's up to you, if you're the contestant, to stop it with a button. And you hope that your bracket contains the right price of the vehicle or whatever he's trying to give away. And so you stand there and you have all kinds of options. You can wait till it moves farther up or down or wherever and hit the button and stop the price. Watch a contestant in a past show. Watch them begin to look at the audience. Now? Do I stop it now? And they've got their support team out there going, now. In fact, one of your former pastor's wives was on that show and won all kinds of things. But you, if you're the contestant, have a choice to make. How do you make it? And that's just a decision. It's not a big deal if you make the wrong choice. You just don't get the car. Hate when that happens, but you don't. But life is full of all kinds of decisions, from the simplest one. Which shoes do I wear today? To the most difficult. Do I take this job or do I not? Do I go to this school or do I don't? Do I go to a different school? Do I marry this person or do I not? Do we discipline our children this way or do we not? Do we do it a different way? Life is full of complex decisions. And I want you to watch the life of Christ here. And understand me when I say that I see a couple of things happening. First of all, and primarily, John is displaying for us who Jesus is that we might believe. And in so doing, you will get a good picture of who Jesus is. But as you see Jesus for who he is and you trust him, scriptures call us to follow his example. And so not only do I see John putting on display for us who Jesus is that we might believe, but I also see him, as he puts him on display, teaching us how to follow his example. And Jesus is faced with a decision. Mind you, he's at this board and the bracket is moving up, and he has a choice in terms of timing as to when to do what he's about to do. Jesus knows full well that he came to this earth in obedience to his Father to give up his life. He knows that his death is imminent. He knows that he will be crucified. He knows that his Father's wrath for your sin and mine will be turned against him and poured out on him. If it were me, I don't think I could get that over soon enough. Some of you would procrastinate till the very end. Some of you would get it done as quickly as you can. How do you make such a choice, Jesus? How do you decide? Two things that I want you to see in the life of Christ, both that you might believe him and that you might follow him in your faith. Be consistent. Be consistent. Flip back to John chapter 5, verse 19. John chapter 5, verse 19. Repeatedly, Jesus makes this assertion and implies as much once again in chapter 7. But in chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So what's happening in chapter 7 is now he has his brothers who are telling him to do something. Go to Jerusalem. The opportunity there is for you, Jesus. How do you make a decision? And Jesus says, it's not time yet. Jesus, how do you know that? How do you know that God isn't using your brothers to open the door for you to go to Jerusalem? It's time, Jesus. But Jesus says, it's not time. The appointed time is not yet. It isn't time yet for me to do that. And Jesus was perfectly consistent in his life. He always did what his daddy told him to do. How many of you, when you grew up, always did what your daddy told you to do? Always. Be careful. Some of you, your parents are still here. My father can attest that I always did what he told me to do. But Jesus always did his Father's will. Can I ask you, in your Christian faith, do you always obey your Father in heaven? When he says, do this, do you do it? Do you respond immediately? When he says, don't, do you avoid it at all costs? Jesus was perfectly consistent. And even in the face of making a decision and facing the consequences, when he's standing there with his brothers and they have what they think is a good idea, he's still consistent. And I'm here to tell you that the reason Jesus knew it wasn't the right time is because his daddy told him it wasn't the right time. And in perfect consistency, he did his Father's will. He was purposeful. And Jesus' purpose was to do what his daddy sent him here to do. How many of us have refined in terms of our lives to the place that that's why we're here? To do whatever God put me here to do. Nothing more, nothing less. How many of you have settled for second best, and you're just here to be happy, or you're just here to make a living, and you want to do a decent job of that, and you just want to be a good parent, or you just want to be a good husband or wife, and you've settled just for that. I'm not saying to be a good husband or wife is bad, or to be a good parent is bad, or to make a living is bad. What I am saying is, if that's all you've settled for and it's not to do whatever God has for you, then you're settling for second best. And some of you may be saying, Carl, it's a bit late to make those decisions. No, it's not. God has you here to accomplish certain purposes. Do you wake up in the morning looking for those? Do you communicate with Him all throughout the day, asking for His guidance? Perfectly consistent. I know better than that, but are you striving to live your life for the Lord Almighty? Is that your desire? To be consistent as was Jesus. His life was timely. Not only was his direction of God, but the timetable was his Father's as well. You do your Father's will. See, when I strive for consistency in my life, Romans 7 seems to jump off of the scriptures into my life. Romans 7 is that passage where Paul says such things as, the things that I want to do, I don't. The things I don't want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. God, who will help me? Who will save me? And the Lord Christ is who he calls upon. There is a struggle in our own lives for consistency. You know, it would be easy to do the will of God consistently if I just didn't have a will of my own. Have you found that to be true? A friend of mine has been without a call to a church for a period of a few months. He's a pastor. The ending to his last pastorate was a bit rocky. And now he finds himself interviewing with another church. He's interviewed with a number of churches, and in his sovereignty, God has not placed him in any of those churches. And he called me this weekend, and he asked for my advice. What would you tell him? He said, do you know anything about this church? And he mentioned a church. Well, I know a little bit about it. I wish I could just say, I know nothing. Remember, Colonel Klink, I know nothing. It would be easy for him to accept a call to another church just because he wants so desperately to be a pastor. Is that what God wants? You have a job offer that will result in a huge pay increase. No brainer, right? Of course, that's an easy. Are you sure? Are you sure that's what God wants? What the world calls an advancement, is it an advancement? Are we quick sometimes to make those no-brainer decisions without ever talking to our Heavenly Father? God, is this what you want? After 175,000 miles, it's time to buy another automobile. How do you practice consistency in such details, such decisions? Oh, that's easy. I like. What does God like? Do you know He uses even automobiles in your life and mine? Do you bother to ask Him? God, would you lead me? Some of you have done that. And you've watched God work. You're working on classes for the fall. You're making out your schedule. Which classes do you sign up for? Which classes do you avoid? Well, that's easy. This guy's a bad teacher. Don't want him. He's hard. He flunks people. That's a no-brainer. Not taking that class. Basket weaving's easy. I'll get an A. It'll help my GPA. It'll help me get in college. No-brainer, right? Oh, really? Maybe there's somebody in this class that God wants you to minister to. God's blessed you over the years and it's time to move up in house, right? Are you sure? Have you finished in the neighborhood where He's placed you? Are there neighbors that you've told about Christ? Are there people there that you need to encourage? And when He does say move, are you asking Him where to go? That's what I see in Jesus, a perfect consistency in that He walked with God all the time. And the only thing He did is whatever His daddy said to do. And I can hear His thought life. Is it time? No, it's not time. But Jesus, you got all this stuff that people want to see. You want to be this public figure, whatever it is. We don't get it, but whatever it is, you want to be public, so go public. It makes good sense to me. And Jesus says, no. So what's your value system? Is it consistent with what God's teaching you in His Word daily? Be consistent. What I see in the life of Jesus is one who sought His Father's will. One who walked closely with His Father so that He knew His will. I can tell you tons about Cindy. In fact, she's down helping with the nursery right now. So I can really tell you about my wife because she's not in here. And I can trust you, right? You wouldn't tell her, right? And why is it that I could tell you lots of things about Cindy? I'll tell you why, because I've been hanging around her for 23 years. And I've learned all kinds of things about her. And she surprised me just a couple of days ago, and I learned something brand new about her. And I thought I knew everything. Now I do, but till she told me, I didn't. How do you know what God wants? Because you walk consistently with Him day in and day out. You learn to share with Him your decisions. You don't jump to conclusions without going, God, what do I do today? And as you walk with Him, then the decisions can become no-brainer because His Spirit guides and leads. And you spend the day with Him. But if you don't spend, till next Sunday with Him, how do you know on Thursday when you make a decision whether it's what He wants you to do or not? If you're not listening to Him in His Word, if you're not daily going before Him and saying, God, what do you have for me? Next month, we will nominate elders and deacon candidates. How are you going to decide? You feel yourself back up here at Bob Barker's board going, well, there's some names, and ooh, where do we stop this thing? Well, I don't care who you like. I do, but you understand what I'm saying. What I want to know is who at Faith Church has God called for this time and this place to serve now as an elder and as a deacon. Is that your prayer? It doesn't matter if you like how they part their hair. What matters is what your daddy's will is for this body at this time. And I see Jesus consistent. That's the first point. And the second one, be persistent. Be consistent, be persistent. Jesus was consistent in His walk with the Lord, and as such, He discovered what God had for him and was obedient to His will. You and I need to do no less. He was persistent. He didn't stop doing His Father's will. It's interesting to me that He had a great opportunity there with His brothers who didn't believe. They were not men of faith, at least not the kind of faith that trusted Him as Messiah, as Christ. And Jesus, with His brothers standing right there with Him, giving Him advice, looked at them and said, in essence, not now. It isn't time. He didn't allow His brothers to persuade Him with human reason. He wasn't driven by popular opinion polls. How many of us make decisions based on what everybody around us thinks? Instead of what God thinks. What does His Word say? What is God telling you through His Word. Seek godly counsel, not that of the world. And listen for God's Word in that counsel. You be persistent. Don't stop doing your Father's will. Don't be counseled, or don't be fooled by the counsel of mere man. Don't be more concerned about what people think than you are with what God says. Hear what He says. Christianity isn't a democracy. It is God rules. I was standing in the parking lot with my nephew immediately after his graduation from basic training on Paris Island. He was offered the opportunity to drive home. His response, I don't remember what the time constraints were, but his response was, I can only drive for an hour today or something like that. His little brother was standing by him and he heard him say that and he goes, oh yeah, but once you get off base, you can do whatever you want. His response, Chase said, I am the property of the United States government. I can only drive for an hour today. Oh, that we would have such persistence in our loyalty to our God. Oh, I can do whatever I want. God doesn't care. I am the property of the living God. He created me. And His Son purchased me out of slavery to belong to Him. I am His. And I want to do what He has called me to do. I want to fulfill His purpose for my life on this earth. Be persistent. Don't stop doing what He's called you to do. Even in the face of peer pressure. How do you handle peer pressure? My daughter watched a film in driver's ed class yesterday. It was one of the teenagers. There were four of them in the automobile on West Shady Grove Road. Two of them were killed. One of them was her brother. And she gave a report. Young people, will you listen to the peer pressure or will you listen to your God? Not so young people. Will you listen to the peer pressure of the world helping you make decisions that are right? Or will you turn to your God and go, God, what do you want me to do? How do I honor you with my life? What do you want from me in this particular decision? Jesus is one with His Father and in complete subjection to His Father's will. I think John is calling us to believe. And as we're growing in that faith, he calls us to follow the example of Christ. And what I see in the life of Christ is consistency and persistent living. And I can't do that without faith in Christ. As a result of faith in Christ and my relationship with Him, He enables me to become more consistent and persistent in my Christian walk. Just a side note as I conclude. Look back at those last verses. This is cool. What did his brothers want for him? Jesus, you got to go public with this stuff. But they didn't understand what that was all about. I ask you, what was happening in Jesus' absence as he went to the feast incognito? What was the talk about as Jesus came to Jerusalem secretly? What was the topic of the day? Where's this Jesus guy? What does he look like? What's it about? He's a good guy. No, he's not. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus was being proclaimed. He was publicly being lifted up. One of your elders had the opportunity to speak at the funeral of his brother-in-law, 60 years old, snatched from this world. Brad Zamboni had the chance in St. Petersburg, Florida, to talk about how God had used his brother-in-law in his life. And he challenged people with what God was doing. And when he got back to the house, his nephew was there, the son of this man that they had just buried. And Mike said to Brad, "So tell me about this Jesus fellow." His brothers go, "Jesus, here's the way to do this." And God says, "No, it's not. Let me show you how to make my son public. And when the time is right, he will be exalted. And I will draw people unto myself, not your way in your time, but my way in my time. You be consistent in your walk with Christ, and you be persistent." Let's pray. Father, your word challenges us where we live. We oftentimes, I confess, make decisions alone when we have the wisdom of the eternal God, the infinite God, the matchless Father. We have your wisdom. All wisdom has been given to us in Christ Jesus. And we have but to sit at your feet in consistency in our walk with you. Lord Jesus, give us a hunger for the truth of your word. Not just today, but tomorrow may we look in your word to hear from you. The next day and the next day and the next day. And Lord, each day, give us the wisdom that we need for that day. We would be consistent in our walk with you, and yet we realize that our own self would wage war against your will in our lives. So help us, God, to do things your way and in your time, even as Jesus was consistent in seeking your will and following it. May we be consistent, God. As he was persistent even in the face of peer pressure, pressure from his brothers, Father, he stood fast and he persisted in doing your will. God, that we would be that way, persistent in our walk with you and leave the driving to you. Thank you for loving us like you do. Help us, God. We can't be consistent or persistent without your help. Please help us as we grow through faith. In Jesus' name, amen.